That's funny. Oh, thanks, guys. Yeah, so smells. I was hoping that we wouldn't have smells of stinky cheese and stinky feet this morning, so I'm hoping the smell will improve. But yeah, we're going to be speaking about smell today, fragrance, aroma. And honestly, I can tell you that I have, the more I've studied for this message, I've just found it fascinating. I mean, if you've been around me recently, I've probably asked you so many questions about what perfume do you wear, what cologne do you wear, what aftershave do you wear, what's your favorite smell? Honestly, I have just been fascinated about this whole thought of smell and your nose. So did you know that actually your sense of smell is your strongest sense that you have out of the five senses we have, which are sight? Anybody else? Hearing, touch, taste, and smell. And out of all those five, smell is your most sensitive sense that you have. It is the first sense that you actively use when you're born. And literally, you can smell over 10,000 different smells. Your nose cells renew themselves every 28 days. So effectively, once a month, you get a new nose. Did you know that? Like, seriously. But, you know, smell is the byproduct of breathing. So we breathe in and we then smell. And what happens is the signals of when you breathe in goes to the part of the brain where your long-term memories are stored and where your emotions are activated and generated. That's where your smell is processed. Smell is so strongly linked to your memories and to your emotions. It's so strongly linked to your memories that actually, if the doctors want to test whether you have early onset dementia, they actually give you a smell test. That is how strong our memories are linked to our smell. You know, smell literally, it can protect us. So if you smell smoke, generally you think there might be a fire, come on. And I don't know if you've ever opened a carton of milk and it looks fine, and the date says it should be fine, but actually, sorry, I'm going to take my earrings off, but actually, it's off. Have you ever done that? Have you ever looked? You looked at the date again, but it is in date. And then you look, but actually you give it a smell, and it tells you it's off. Your smell can protect you from eating food that has gone off. It can give you pleasure. Did you know that actually the majority of what you perceive as flavor is actually made up of smell? That's why when you have a cold, your food loses its taste. Because all you can actually taste is sweet and sour, salty and bitter, but the majority of the flavor comes from when you breathe in. Hence why when you drink wine, I'm not a big wine drinker, but then people like shove their nose in the glass, don't they, and like swirl it around. Because the majority of the flavor of wine comes from smelling. Smell is so powerful. It can motivate you. So certain types of smells are so linked to our behavior that it actually shifts how we behave. Scientists have proven that when we smell something citrus, we think of clean. Have you ever heard that saying, cleanliness is next to godliness, right? Well, apparently, when we smell something like citrus, we try and behave better. All right, so I'm going to test this out this week, and I'm going to spray some citrus spells in my kids' bedrooms and check, like, does the science work? Come on. Listen, parents, we need all the help we can get. So, yeah, but you know what? Smell actually, it motivates us. We spend over $70 billion globally on fragrance. Whether that's $70 billion, whether that be fragrance that's in perfume, soap, or household sort of objects and kind of things. Did you know if your smell's impaired, that it affects your intimacy, that you struggle to actually experience intimacy? If your smell is impaired, it can actually bring on emotional disorders like depression. Honestly, smell is so powerful. It can take you somewhere. In one breath, something that was far can now be near. Can you remember any smells from your childhood? like something you just smell it and it takes you straight back to when you were a kid. Maybe crayons. I don't know. What's that pudding? I know that a lot of people had it, like, I don't know, British had, like, is it semolina pudding? Yeah, come on. Like, just smell that and you're right back in the dinner hall. I have a friend, Ben, and you cannot give Ben a book without Ben opening it and sniffing the pages. I mean, I don't know if he's, like, trying to smell the history of it or maybe the author's life, but I have never seen him sniff a book. I'm like, Ben, what are you doing? Who likes to sniff books? Come on. But yes, I know who you are. Right, for me, if I smell tuna, right, I go right back to being 10 because my mom, she worked really hard. She had long hours. And somebody, God bless them, gave her a recipe for tuna baked pie, okay? And we made the mistake of saying, yeah, Mom, that's great. It's fantastic. Well, we ate tuna pie, honestly, every day for weeks until it was like coming out of our ears. And we had a family protest where we're like, we are never eating tuna pie again. And we honestly, so every time I smell tuna, I kind of chuckle to myself because I remember this protest. And you know what? I have to this day never eaten tuna baked pie again. But my mom's perfume is Chanel No. 5, and I only have to get a whiff of it, and immediately I'm in my mom's presence. I'm there. Smell connects us. It goes past time. Something that's far is now close. Do you know what? Smell decodes the invisible. Don't you think that's like, when I read that, I was like, wow. A friend of mine, I've been speaking to her about this, what I've been studying, and I was asking her about how smells played a part in her life. And she was saying that when her daughter was born, she was born with some complications. And so as soon as she was born, she was in an incubator for a few days. And so they couldn't actually touch their daughter. So what she would do is she would take a blanket and she would put it inside the incubator so the blanket could absorb the smells of her daughter. And then when she had to go into a little room to express milk, she would put this blanket on her chest. And the smell of her daughter would release her milk, and she could then go and express milk. And what she would do then is she would take the blanket and put it back into the incubator so her daughter could smell her. Smell connects us. I believe, you know, this series we've been looking at life, and that the life of Christ is in us. And I believe life has a fragrance. I believe life has an aroma, and it connects us and it brings us into the presence of God. So I want us to read a verse now. It's in 2 Corinthians 2:14 to 15. And if you wanted some truth to actually say, you know, a foundation that Jesus does have an aroma. Have you ever hugged somebody and then they left and you could still smell either their perfume or their aftershave? Now, depending on their perfume or aftershave, that's either a good thing or a bad thing. But do you know what? In preparing this message, I believe that I got a hug from God. And his aroma has kind of lingered and stayed with me, and it has blessed me. So, Father, I pray right now that this morning, that we would find ourselves in your embrace, and that your fragrance would be absorbed into our life and diffused into the atmosphere. I want to read 2 Corinthians, and it says, "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us into triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. We are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." We are the fragrance of Christ. How incredible is that? Like, we are the fragrance of Christ. Now, I'm going to show you something. This is actually my oil lamp that I have at home. And if the fire alarm goes off, stay where you are. We'll sort it out. But I want to show you how this lamp works. So basically, there's a, sort of a quite a thick rope inside that saturates the oil. So once you fill it up with oil, and once you've filled it up, you put this rope inside. You can't light it straight away because there has to be a period of where the rope saturates the oil. And so once you do that, you then have to take the lid off. I'm just being serious. Some of you need to take the lid off so that actually God can permeate into your life and diffuse something. But anyway, you take the lid off. And then you have to light it. So let's just hope nothing happens. Now, when you light it, what you're actually doing is you're heating the rock. And you have to leave it for a bit, because what happens now is that rock is starting to absorb all that energy and all that heat. And then it pulls, it draws out the oil and releases the fragrance. So I've been studying about perfume. And that perfume, that fragrance that is released, perfume has different layers. First of all, it's called the top note. The top note is the thing that attracts you, the things that draws you in. Then you have a middle note, which is the heart of the fragrance. Then you have a base note, which is long-lasting and it's rich. It's where all the fragrance sits on. And very soon, you'll start to see the fragrance released. I want us to map, I want us to walk through a woman's life called Mary. Mary of Bethany. Now, she's called Mary of Bethany because she lived in a place called Bethany. Mary had a sister called Martha, and she had a brother called Lazarus. And I kind of want to take three different snapshots from Mary's life. And then I want to show you how she absorbed the fragrance of Christ, and then how she released his fragrance. And so for the first place I want to visit is Mary and Martha, her sister. And you can read it in Luke 10. And this, for me, is an illustration of how smell attracts. And so Jesus comes around. He's around their house for dinner. Martha's in the kitchen, busy cooking away. And Mary goes and sits at the feet of Jesus. And Martha gets so annoyed at this that she tells her honored guest off. I mean, you got to know, you're pretty, you know, you're clinking those pans in the kitchen and you're getting pretty annoyed. You must be so annoyed if you then go and tell your guest off. And she's like, Jesus, don't you care that I'm away cooking away and my sister's just sitting at your feet? And he says, Martha, Martha, you are worried about many things, but Mary has chosen well and it will not be taken from her. Mary chooses well because she was attracted to the fragrance of Christ and she humbled herself and sat at his feet. She humbled herself to grow as she listened and absorbed all of the wisdom that Jesus had. And it started to be saturated into her very being, just like that rope in that perfume lamp. It was absorbed into her. And then fast forward a little bit, now we're looking at John 11, and I want to say that not only does smell attract, but smell wakes you up. And so here we are, we have Mary, we have her sister Martha, and now her brother Lazarus. Now unfortunately, Lazarus has died, and he's been dead for 4 days, and he's inside the tomb when Jesus comes to visit. And Martha runs out because she hears he's coming, and she greets him, and she says, Jesus, where were you? If you were here, he wouldn't have died. But I believe in you, and I believe in life. And he says, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, when he says, I am, he's actually referring to his covenant name, his vow, his promise. And we hear God introduce himself to Moses in the books of Exodus, where he says, Moses, I am. And now we hear Jesus saying, I am the resurrection. That means I vow, I'm the promise of the resurrection and of life. And she goes to Mary and she says, Mary, Jesus is calling you. There is something that when you have a fragrance on you, it calls you. It speaks to you. And she runs to Jesus. She runs at such a pace that the people who were around her notice how quickly she gets up, and it is her pace that makes them follow. Sometimes it is your response, it's the place where you run to that will make people in your life notice. Here she is in the midst of despair, and she hears Jesus call her name, and she runs. What I find amazing is in that first place where we hear about Mary, she humbles herself and she falls at his feet so that she can learn and grow. Here, her heart is broken, and the first thing she does is she falls at his feet. She humbles herself, and she prepares her heart to receive the love of Jesus. Jesus weeps with her, and everybody around can see and comment on how much he loves her. Sometimes in the midst of pain, we have to humble ourselves so that we can receive love. You know, years ago, if you asked me if I was okay, I would go, yeah, I'm fine, even if I wasn't. There has to be a humility that comes and goes, you know what, I might not be, but I know where I can receive love. I know where I can receive wholeness. And Jesus goes to the tomb, and he says, roll away the stone. And like, Jesus, are you sure? He's been dead 4 days. There's going to be an odor. There's going to be a stink that comes out of this tomb. And he says, Lazarus, he calls him by name. He says, Lazarus, come out. Jesus' fragrance calls us from death to life. Do you know that we still use smelling salts now, today, to wake people up? And he calls him out. Smell, not only does it attract, but it awakes you. It awakes you to life. And he says, Lazarus, take off your grave clothes. Take off the things that are stinking. And I pray that for each one of us, we would reflect on our own lives and, Lord, what do I need to take off that's stinking? What do I need to take off that's holding me back, that's reminding me of death? Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's disappointment. Maybe, I don't know, it's greed. But we need to take something off because the smell is of death and he is calling us to life. Do you know, it's Mary, I love the fragrance of her life because it's the fragrance of Jesus. I'm gonna read John 12 now. And this is where Mary serves. If we've looked at how smell attracts and smell awakes, and this is how smell diffuses. Remember we read in Corinthians where it says we are the aroma of Christ that is diffused into all the places we go. I want us to see that at work. Now, if the first story is the top note of Jesus' fragrance, it's the thing that attracts. The second story is the heart of the fragrance. It's the middle notes. It's the heart of Jesus' fragrance that is life. I would say this is the base note of Jesus' fragrance. It's long-lasting and it's rich. John 12, 1 to 8, it says, 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from an essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. She's taking an expensive bottle of perfume. You know, studies say that this perfume was literally the equivalent of a year's salary. In today's money, it would be about £10,000. Can you imagine spending £10,000 on a bottle of perfume? Like, it's so extravagant. It's so extravagant. Let's just be really real. 10,000 pounds on a bottle of perfume. That's extravagant. And then she goes and it says she breaks it open. Remember when we spoke about the lid on the perfume jar? She broke something. Some of us need to have something, some jar, some container broken in our lives so that the fragrance can be released. 10,000 pounds of a perfume, and she breaks it and she pours it on his feet, and she does something even more taboo than spending all that money on perfume. She then, Jewish women weren't allowed to have their hair done in public, and she takes her hair and she starts to wipe his feet. That is extravagant love. I wonder where she learned to love like that. Maybe it was when she sat at his feet, when Martha was preparing earthly food, natural food, and she was actually feeding off supernatural food. Maybe it was when her heart was broken and Jesus poured love into her, that she could then have such a love to serve him with. I wonder where she learned to love like that. So she anointed his feet and she wiped it with her hair. The house was filled with a fragrance. But Judas, the disciple who soon would betray, that perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor. Not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief, and since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. He's come to her defense. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you won't always have me." Do you know what? That smell of the perfume, it offended Judas. It offended him because it reminded him of her choice and his choice. Judas loved money. She loved Jesus. And the fragrance of that perfume reminded him that she had chosen life and he was in the midst of perishing. The fragrance of Christ will let you know where you are. It will attract you. It will call to you. Mary understood timing. She understood the rhythms of grace. She understood that there is a time to humble yourself before your King and learn and grow and receive love. And then there is a time to humble yourself and extravagantly give out the love that you so freely received. It was free. It didn't cost her anything. When Jesus just loved her and called her brother from death to life. Such was his love. It was expensive perfume. But the fragrance of Christ that we so get to experience cost Jesus his life. It didn't cost 10,000 pounds. It cost him his life. Oh, I've learned so much from Mary. I really have. You know, we joked about, and we had that sort of sniff game before. Have you ever seen those stickers that you sometimes get maybe on crayons, or you get it on, I don't know, candles or a bottle or something, and it says scratch and sniff, scratch and sniff. I wonder if somebody was to get close enough to your life to scratch the surface, to scratch and get past the facade and what you put up, I wonder what the aroma would be. Because aroma, fragrance, always has a source. The fragrance of Judas's life, the source was his love for money. The fragrance of Mary's life, the source was her love for Jesus. I wonder if we scratched your life and mine, what would be the aroma that would come? I wonder if we would pass the sniff test. We have a bit of a joke in our family. They're like, "Mom, don't say it," but I'm gonna. But I have a very sensitive nose, okay? So nobody in my family is allowed to leave the house until they passed the sniff test. And I wish I was joking. joking, but that's the truth. I wonder if our lives would pass the sniff test. You know, if we jump a little bit forward to John 13, where Jesus is now having the Last Supper, he's just about to go to the cross. And Jesus washes his disciples' feet. I wonder how Mary knew to do that. Maybe because she spent time with him. But Jesus humbles himself and he washes his disciples' feet. And then they take communion together. They have supper together. And he says, "This is my body." And he takes some bread and he breaks it. "This is my body broken for you. Eat and remember me." Then he takes some wine and he says, "This is my blood spilled for you. Drink it and remember me." I wonder why Jesus chose such fragrant things for us to remember. Do you know bread has such a strong aroma and it is such a pleasing aroma that we pump the smell of bread into shops so that we will be drawn in and we feel good and we buy bread. Apparently, if you want to sell your house, the best thing you can do is shove a loaf of bread in the oven and the smell will come through your house and it will attract people, it will draw people. Isn't he's chosen bread? Because remember how closely smell was related to memory. And so he's saying, eat, eat, and the flavor, majority of that is from your smell, eat and remember me. Then he chooses wine. Listen, I'm not a wine connoisseur, but apparently the best way to enjoy wine is to smell. Do you want something ironic? Is that the perfume that Mary used, that spikenard, on Jesus' feet is the same perfume that is used to perfume wine. Come on. When I read that, I was like, God, you're so clever. I love the Bible. I love when you see truth like that just revealed and the depth of who God is. And now he's choosing wine, something rich with perfume. And he's saying, drink this and remember me. The fragrance of Christ is in our lives so that we would remember him. So that something that would appear far can immediately connect us and bring us into his presence. And we'll know him and we'll remember his love for us. That took him to the cross. Ha. How do we exchange the ordinary for the extraordinary? We grow in Jesus by spending time at his feet. We love because he first loved us. We serve by allowing the fragrance of Christ to fill every room and every conversation we are in because the source of life is in us. Oh, Father, do you know there are some cities that are renowned for their smells? We had a hoot when we discovered this, like we really did. So we're like, oh my goodness. So they're literally, the city Fez in Morocco is renowned for the smell of leather. So if you go to that city, you will probably smell notes of leather in the air. If you go to Chicago, apparently there is a famous chocolate factory there, and it literally releases so much chocolate fragrance that they even have a smell map, so you can go on a smell walk, I kid you not, and they have a weather smell report to let you know just how smelly it's going to be today in regards of chocolate. I mean, come on. In Grasse in France, they produce so much perfume that they train over 27,000 noses a year to smell things. Apparently, 27 tons of jasmine is produced in those fields every year, and that's what Chanel No. 5 used. That sounds like quite a nice place to live, I've got to say. But then Buffalo in New York, apparently they toast a lot of oats there. They have a lot of mills that toast oats to such an extent that the guys have actually marketed T-shirts that says, "My city smells like Cheerios." Apparently that's what it smells like. So you go to Buffalo, you're going to smell some Cheerios, right? Then Gilroy in California. I've got to say, out of all the smells we've talked about, this is probably not my favorite, but they do garlic festivals, okay? just to breathe in garlic? Well, apparently the smell can be smelt for 40 miles when they have this festival. I mean, oh my goodness. Mombasa in Kenya, apparently terracotta is the smell that you'll smell because all the roofs are made of terracotta tiles. And so when the sun bakes it and when it rains, that's what you smell. You smell terracotta. I wonder what Wigan would smell like. You know, this lamp, it isn't enough to perfume this entire room. But what if we each bought our lamp? What if we made it our mission as followers of Jesus to say, Lord, I'm your vessel. Would you pour yourself in me? Would you pour your fragrance into my life? And when it gets hot, when it gets heated, you know, success and failure, they'll both tell you equally about yourself. Success will tell you as much about your character as failure will. When it gets heated, Lord, I pray that the fragrance, whether good, bad, or indifferent in my life, the fragrance would always be you. If we each had a lamp that was filled with the oil of Jesus, this fragrance. When we love others and we love them not because of our own source of love, but because of a love that we have received, I wonder what the smell could be like in Wigan. I wonder if, I mean, I'm not being sort of in theory. I genuinely believe that there could be something. So remember it said that smell decodes the invisible. There could be something that when people come to Wigan and they say, you know what? There's a sweet aroma when I go to Wigan, an aroma that awakes me, an aroma that attracts me, an aroma that makes me feel loved. There's a sweet aroma in the air. And it's not because there's a factory sort of toasting oats. It's because there are people who have decided to wholeheartedly humble themselves before their king. Father, I pray that we would choose well, that we would humble ourselves at your feet, that we would absorb your love and your life, and we would serve by breaking the containers in our life so that the fragrance can shape our life and our city.